Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Paul Emig, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So Paul, a couple of different things. First and foremost, I don't know specifically still what to make of this Packers team. I watched that game on Monday night with the 49ers. I don't know what to make of the 49ers, even though they're undefeated. So you tell me, how good do you believe this Green Bay Packers team really is?
Well, I think they are among a handful of teams in the NFC that, you never want to make too big of a judgment call 5 weeks in to say like, oh yeah, you know, here are the five teams or the four teams or the three teams that are the most likely to represent, you know, one of the conferences for the Super Bowl. I mean, because so much can change over the course of the next 11 weeks. But if the Packers aren't in somebody's top four NFC threats to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I think they are either extremely biased against the Packers or they're watching a completely different team than what I am. I don't know how anybody could then say that Dallas should be above Green Bay. I think that became quite clear. Philadelphia, not quite the same record as Green Bay, but came into Lambeau and won. I think they're going to only continue to get better as Carson Wentz gets further and further removed from his injury and as that defense gets healthy and gets on the same page. San Francisco, Bill, I will tell you, at 3-0, I was skeptical. I said, nah, they didn't. It's kind of like how the Packers, you know, granted the score on Sunday in Dallas was closer than what it, I think, truly was because of the fourth quarter comeback that the Cowboys had. With the 49ers, they were significantly a better team than what Cleveland was on Monday. So I'm going to put San Francisco in there too. In terms of, I think it'll be more difficult for them because so many of their key players haven't been there before. And I still think there's more to figure out, but I think they're a serious threat in the conference. But Bill, I mean, I think it's fair to say I've been a bit more optimistic on the Packers so far throughout the year, maybe than you have been and going into the Dallas game and a couple other points this season. But you would have to agree, right? They are clearly, you know, if 100 football fans who are able to put their bias aside picked four teams for the NFC that they would, you know, wager would be one of the four to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, 99 out of 100 should, if not 100 out of 100, should be picking the Packers among their four teams if they were forced to do so. It would be in yours, right? And wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I would completely agree.
Top three?
Yeah. I think when I think of the Packers, and we said at the beginning of the season, top 12 defense, supportive offense, this team can go into the postseason deeply. I still don't know what to make of them going back to my original question to you of, okay, no Davante Adams, you didn't see anybody else emerge, but the game plan changed because they went to run and pass out of the backfield, and the tight ends were the top receivers along with the running backs rather than going to the wide receivers. So I don't know if it worked out to that way or if that was the scheme. I certainly saw a lot of different things that we had not seen before out of this type of offense. So I guess my cumulative effect is, does this team have the ability like a chameleon to morph? If you lose Davante Adams, no big deal. We're going to go with a run game. We're going to go with the tight ends. If they get Davante Adams back and he's good, Marquez Valdes-Scantling's good, and we're going to go downfield and let Aaron Rodgers kind of go with the flow. I don't know where this team is at yet. And I think, again, I said the litmus test is going to be Dallas and Kansas City. Well, they beat Dallas. So I have to say it's a really good football team. I just don't know how good or what their ceiling is. You know what I mean?
Well, I think could the Packers get better still? I mean, they could continue to get better. But to have, you know, they haven't been perfect defensively. They certainly haven't been perfect offensively. they came around, obviously, in Dallas, but they started the season slowly offensively. I still think there's more ceiling to move aside and to clear for the Packers, but I think they've been playing at a fairly consistently high level. You know, they probably could have, should have beat Philadelphia, and even if that was to happen, you could be talking 5-0. Now, you know, could have, would have, should have, doesn't matter. They lost that game. But Philadelphia is another legit contender. It's not like Oakland came into Lambeau Field and won. If that was to happen, you know, 2 weeks from now, I would say, you know, really good teams don't lose that game. But, you know, I think you can, you know, again, even if the Packers have a remarkable 12-4 season, four losses got to come somewhere, you know, and that's just going to happen. If you end up going 6-2 or 7-1 at home and, you know, 5-3 or 6-2 on the road, I mean, you just had yourself a heck of a season. And the fact that they've already checked off at Chicago, win, at Dallas, win, kind of to one of your initial questions to me on Monday to, you know, to some of the more pessimistic Packers fans was, what else do you want? You know, like if you would have filled out your Packers schedule prediction back in April and you would have said at Chicago, win, you know, at Dallas, win. And by the way, you're going to take 2 out of 3 in a homestand against Philly, Minnesota, and Denver. I mean, you would have, if I would have made that prediction, Bill, back in April, I would have not felt very good about it. You know, like I would have, I don't know. But what I keep seeing is a team that is able to evolve. And like I did say to you the other day, I don't think it's sustainable to have 4 completed passes to wide receivers. You know, if Devontae Adams misses another game, or let's say he comes back but then misses one in December to rest, or whatever the case would be, his turf toe, because the turf toe is likely going to linger, you can't complete 4 passes to wide receivers on a consistent basis and win. It can happen 1 or 2 times, and then once opposing defenses start to realize that and take that away, you're obviously less likely to still be able to come out on top. So I do think there's, you know, plenty of things there to figure out, because I don't think that is sustainable. But at this point, I don't know how you can look at the Packers and say, like, you know, I don't know if they're your number one NFC threat right now to represent the conference in the Super Bowl, number 2 or number 3. But if they're not in the top 4, like I said earlier, I don't know what team you're watching, because this is a very, much more so than the past, pretty much since 2010, a more complete team than what I've seen. And if anything else, if anything worries me right now, Bill, it's their special teams, not because of J.K. Scott, who's great, but they've had, what, 3 times this year already that Mason Crosby's had to make a tackle on kickoff, and that's never ideal because it means you're tackling him around the 40, 50-yard line.
Paul, offensively speaking, the offensive line still not rating really high. I was going back through Pro Football Focus's grading system, and even though you saw Aaron Jones have a big day, there was still some missed blocks, still some issues, holding penalties and such. Is the Achilles heel of this offense overall the offensive line?
Not from the offense. Do you have it up in front of you, Bill? I assume, I have not seen it in the past 2 weeks. I assume they have to have Bulaga and Bakhtiari ranked very highly. Do they? As individuals, at least?
Well,
or is it just the team grade that you're looking at?
I'm just looking at the team grade right now. You know, when it comes to the ability to run, they went up from 20th, but they're 18th.
Sure.
So they're still not high. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there was, 2 snaps.
Actually, I take that back. When it comes to run blocking, they're 24th.
Okay.
Running the football overall, they're 18th. But run blocking, they're 24th. When it comes to pass blocking, though, they have fallen off a little bit, but that's where they're 18th when it comes to pass blocking.
Okay. And they've always been built to pass block. I mean, for as great as Bakhtiari is, he should be a multi-time all-pro at this point in his career. He's been the best tackle in the league for the past 3 years. Ron Bulaga, yeah, he missed, you know, a chunk of time in the game the other week, but when he's been out there, he's gone up against some of the best pass rushers in the league, including Von Miller and Khalil Mack. And Khalil Mack, I'm seeing as, you know, if you rewind 5 years ago when a defensive player named J.J. Watt was in MVP contention with Houston, Khalil Mack I'm seeing mentioned in MVP contention very early, of course, but you have to be having a special year to be mentioned MVP when you're a defensive player. And these are some of the studs that Bulaga has gone up against. I thought he's held up well. And I think once they made the switch from Lane Taylor, who, of course, is on IR, to Elton Jenkins, I think that has been a big step forward. And, you know, and certainly I think Elton Jenkins, between himself, Lindsley, and Billy Turner, Jenkins, over the past couple games, has been the best interior blocker, to my eyes, at least, to my, my test of what I'm seeing on watching these games a second and third time as well. But, you know, I think Lindsley, I think, Bill, since signing that contract extension a couple of Decembers ago, has probably plateaued a little bit. I kind of thought there would be maybe more there to become, like, the elite center in the NFL. I don't think that has happened. And I think Billy Turner so far has, you know, he's stabilized maybe the offensive line at right guard a little bit, because there have been times in the past couple of years where the Packers have tried to plug in, you know, Jahri Evans or whomever else, and it's been pretty rough at times. But he's not been good, and he certainly hasn't been worth $9 million. So I don't know. I don't feel great about the offensive line, Bill. But, again, for me, if I had to target my biggest concern on offense, it would just be that do they have enough wide receivers who can get open, especially if and when Adams either hobbled or out entirely. So I get it. I get the offensive line concern, but it, for me, it doesn't override perhaps a lack of pass catchers at the wide receiver position specifically.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
And we might hit on this on Friday, but is it as much of a bummer to you and maybe to your listeners as it is to me that this is week six and it's going to be the third Sunday out of six without a Packers game on a Sunday?
Right? I know. It seems kind of weird. Although I will say this, it's been kind of nice to kind of relax on the weekends, no doubt. So
I love my Sunday football. I'll take Sunday at noon or Sunday at 3:30 any
yeah.
week. But it does put you in, you know, you're the only game on TV on Thursday and Monday, so that's
right.
Interesting. But, yep. All right, Billy. See you, buddy.
All right, Paul. Talk to you soon. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.